Hour number two of Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch with you until 6. Time now for us to head to the hotline as we speak Ohio State basketball. And to do that, we're bringing in Sean Dunnigan of WBNS 10 TV down in Columbus. Dunny, how are things in our great state capital?
Everything's good down here. It's great to hear the Ric Flair music, the winner of the greatest Royal Rumble ever. It's always good to hear Ric Flair's music and come into that.
You're doggone right. Royal Rumble 1992. Remember it like it was yesterday.
Absolutely, yes,
sir. Outstanding stuff. Well, we'll get into some Rumble talk if we have time later, but let's begin with some Ohio State basketball. Last week we spoke, Dunny, and boy, things weren't going so well. You had mentioned that Minnesota would be one of those games that Ohio State really couldn't take lightly. And the very next day, they lost in heartbreaking fashion to Minnesota. And then they came out on top on Sunday with a victory over Northwestern. What were some things that kind of made you look twice over the last 6 days with this team?
The effort level was definitely there against Northwestern. And it was starting to get there against Minnesota. The Minnesota game was very odd and very strange, and the fact that both teams, it seemed like, were having struggles offensively, it was just one of those things where Minnesota was able to put the ball in the hoop with, I think it was 3 seconds left, and Ohio State had no timeouts, couldn't really get a play designed and a play going that quickly out on the inbounds, and they ended up losing the game. The game against Northwestern was, to me, a must-win. It was on the road, so you have a big road win in the conference. And it was against Northwestern, who's bottom of the barrel. You need to win those games. You need to win that game handily, and I thought they did.
So outside of the effort, I know you mentioned that really stood out to you, but outside of the effort, what was the most encouraging thing in your mind about the victory on Sunday over Northwestern?
The bench play, especially the play of Justin Arns, him coming off the bench, him being able to let up the three was very encouraging to see. And I think it had definitely helped DJ Carton, the young Buckeye freshman, get off to the play he had, because he was able to take some of that and drive to the lane, which he likes to do. He had 17 points. I believe Justin had somewhere around 11 or 12. That was very encouraging to see four players in double figures for Ohio State. And they played well defensively. They kept Northwestern, I believe, below 30% from three in the second half. That helps big time. But it's one of those where their play defensively and the play of Justin Arns really helped out big time when it came to the win against Northwestern.
They've showed the ability recently to go small if they need to. Do you think they can continue to do that and maybe go that route, not necessarily for the whole game, but going without Caleb Weston, if they continue to go small, is that the kind of thing they can continue to do moving forward?
I think it's one of those things where they might be forced into it, especially if teams are able to get Caleb Weston into foul trouble. Because E.J. Liddell, it seems like he's going to be in foul trouble a lot during games. So if you can get Caleb Weston, who's really the experienced big man on the group, some into foul trouble, you're going to have to be able to learn how to win defensively when playing small ball for the Buckeyes. I think they did it well against Northwestern, but against bigger size teams like a Minnesota, like an Illinois, like a Penn State, it's going to be really tough in this league to win with not a lot of depth up the middle. The big key for Ohio State is to make sure E.J. Liddell knows, hey, you need to be in there. We need you for these minutes while Caleb sits. If they can handle that and if he can stop getting in foul trouble, the Buckeyes will have a lot better chance of not playing small.
I think many would agree that if they had lost to Northwestern on Sunday, that kind of would have been the point of no return. But now they have a chance to certainly make their case again after that free fall over the last 3 or 4 weeks. But they've got some tough games coming up here. They've got Indiana and Michigan on the horizon. Can you make a strong case for wins in both of those games? I mean, does Ohio State have much of a chance against Indiana and Michigan?
I think they definitely have a chance, especially against Indiana, since it's at home. It's at Value City Arena on Saturday at noon. The biggest thing is that Michigan game and seeing how Michigan is playing, seeing how Ohio State is playing, That's going to be a very interesting game to see where the Buckeyes are after these two games. I think, honestly, they are must-win games for the Buckeyes to state their claim in the NCAA tournament and make sure they have a spot come March.
Well, and that would be a gigantic free fall to going from being second or third in the country, not only dropping out of the top 25, but also dropping out of contention to make it to the NCAA tournament. We're still a little ways away from that. They could certainly make up some ground, but you mentioned these are must-win games on the horizon. You know, Dunny, with the games that the Buckeyes have remaining on the docket before they get into the Big Ten tournament, let's say they don't win the Big Ten tournament, about how many games the rest of the way do you think Ohio State is going to have to win in order to get into the tournament if they don't become conference champs?
I think if you include tournament games, as far as Big Ten tournament, you're going to have to win, I think, at least two games in the tournament and probably four to five more regular season games. One of which I think would have to be on the road. So you're looking at another 20-win season at the very least to get in. The good thing is they play in the Big Ten, which is the toughest conference in America. I think the selection committee knows that and realizes that. When you see all this bracketology, you see the Big Ten with 10 or possibly 11 teams getting in the league or getting in the tournament. So that's definitely a big help for Ohio State. You can't have a bad loss in it. You can't have a 40-point blowout. You can't lose to another lower team. You have to make all these games count. And I think that's what Chris Holtmann is preaching to his team right now.
Sure. Playing in the Big Ten, as you mentioned, some more substance to that resume when it comes tournament time. Again, you know, all bets are off if they end up winning that conference tournament, but the way things are going, I don't think anybody has a whole lot of confidence in that happening. But as we all know in college hoops, you just have to get hot at the right time. And, you know, I know right now people aren't exactly high on the Buckeyes, but Dunny, this is a group that could certainly come together at the right time. They've shown flashes this year.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt that they could do everything that they need to and pull it together and start playing better as a team and make a huge run. And they definitely showed glimpses of the first 11 games of the season. They did it last year. Last year, they were in the same spot. I believe the same time last year, they were 13-7, heading into some big conference games. They need to be able to have the wherewithal that to play like this again. And you saw what they've done last year. They won a first-round game. They barely lost their second-round game. So they have a shot. There's always that chance of them playing better than they have been and run a little bit and make a little run in the tape in the remaining, I think it's maybe nine games left in the regular season, maybe lower. But they need to make a strong showing, that's for sure.
Sean Dunnigan, WBNS 10 TV in Columbus, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Dunny, we will shift gears now and talk some Ohio State football. You know, this used to be one of the biggest weeks in the offseason heading into signing day, but the NCAA has changed the rules just a little bit, so signing day still means a little something, but the attention's kind of spread out a little bit over the course of a couple of months, not nearly as much emphasis on one particular day, but, you know, we are exactly a week away from National Signing Day. As you examine this 2020 recruiting class, not all of it final, but it's awfully close at this point. What kind of stands out about this year's class?
Well, definitely, I think it was yesterday they got a recommitment from Cameron Martinez, the reigning Mr. Football for the state of Michigan from Muskingum. He is a four-star athlete coming to Ohio State. He recommitted before early signing day. He was, after the news came out that Jeff Hafley was taking the head coaching job at Boston College, he really formed a strong bond with him. And it was one of those where he wanted to just make sure that this was still the right fit for him. He never decommitted from Ohio State, but it was one of those he just wanted to make sure this was the right fit. He met with Ryan Day and Kerry Combs. The first thing he did when he got the job was head up to Muskingum and talk to Cameron. And I think that really helps Cameron make his decision. So the Buckeyes get a big four-star athlete in there, and they're looking for him to – how about the defensive backcourt? The Buckeyes got two more five-star players yesterday with this, with the re-rankings of everybody, and the fact that C.J. Stroud is now a five-star quarterback, and Jackson Smith and Jigba is a five-star wide receiver. So the Buckeyes got themselves two five-star wide receivers, a five-star quarterback, and a five-star offensive tackle for the class of 2020. That's pretty dang good. They're looking to be third or fourth in the country when all things come to it, as far as recruiting rankings. So all in all, this is a first great full year of recruiting, a big recruiting class for Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Coach Urban Meyer, of course, was very hands-on in the recruiting process. A lot of coaches are, but there are some that can sort of delegate and leave a lot of the nuts and bolts in that to some of the assistants, even though they know they have to play some kind of a role in that process. As involved as Urban Meyer was, how would you compare that to what you've heard about the way Ryan Day approaches the whole recruiting process? Is he nearly as hands-on?
Oh, absolutely. Put it to you this way. Ryan Day wasn't able to make it to the college football playoff press conference because he was out recruiting. If you remember that Thursday after the Buckeyes made it, they had a press conference down in Atlanta right before the college football award show that Ryan Day missed. That Dabo Swinney was there and the two other coaches were there at Ogeron and Lincoln Riley because Ryan Day was coming back from talking with C.J. Stroud about becoming a Buckeye, and he wanted to say and make sure everybody's questions were answered. He was the one making that call, not anybody else. Why? Because he's the head coach. He's ultimately, if the assistant's recruiting you, the assistant's more than likely might be leaving. The head coach is more than likely going to be there. You're committing to the head coach and to Ohio State, not the assistant coach. So he definitely has a big emphasis on him going out and getting these players as well.
Good stuff. Well, Dunny, before we let you go, Super Sunday is just a few days away, and the spread on this is about as narrow as it could be. Right now, at least at last check, the Chiefs were laying a point against the 49ers, and the over-under, something that's probably going to move quite a bit between now and Sunday. Who do you like on Super Sunday and why?
I think I really like the matchup. It's one of the best defenses against one of the best offenses in the league right now. I think if the 49ers have a chance, they need to keep the lead within 10 points. If it goes beyond 10, if the Chiefs go up by two touchdowns, I think it's over. I think if it goes up by more than 10 points, the Chiefs have it in the bag. Just for that reason, I think the Chiefs take it, and they would. If we're playing some fantasy booking and all that, I would take the under as well.
I'm with you on the under. I just have a feeling that this game is going to underwhelm those who think there are going to be a ton of points scored. That's not to say that it won't be exciting. I think we're in for a pretty interesting finish, but we shall see come Super Sunday.
It could be a game like it was last year, 13-3, but a more exciting 13-3, if that makes any sense.
Yes, that makes plenty of sense. Dunny, as always, my friend, a pleasure to have you on. We enjoy catching up with you. We'll do this again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Dunny. Again, that's Sean Dunnigan, WBNS 10 TV down in Columbus, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.